Yo, Adrian! I did it!
Are you ready? You are about to enter the Power On Boost podcast, where we facilitate the awakening of your personal power by providing powerful content that'll inspire you, motivate you, and help you realize you are enough. Come join your host, Adrian Wesley, and let him show you how you can turn your power on to be alive to thrive.
Thank you very much for joining my podcast. I appreciate you being here. I love you a lot. My name's Adrian Z. Wesley. My mission is to make self-love go viral and to turn on personal power around the world. Some disclaimers for you before you get started. Number one is my opinion and content is not meant to replace medical advice. Always think for yourself. The other thing is there's a language advisory. Some people call my language vulgar and rough, and I call it authentic and liberated. If you want to help me turn on someone's personal power, save a life, make self-love go viral, please subscribe and leave a review on this podcast. Lastly, this podcast episode has been sponsored by www.poweronaudioclub.net. PowerOnAudioClub.net. The Power On Audio Club is a powerful business tool for online entrepreneurs. We are awakening personal power and entrepreneurial power worldwide, and we provide you with daily motivation, coaching and mentorship, mindset reprogramming, sleep optimization, human optimization, and business success education. Check out poweronaudioclub.net. Enjoy the episode and remember that you are super, super powerful. Change is for sure possible. Never, ever give up. You are super, super amazing. How you doing, everybody? Another amazing episode of the Power On Boost. I've got a very special guest today, Allie May. She is the self-love queen. She is the founder of The Goddess Day, the global self movement. Super excited to have you on the show today, Allie.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here, Adrian.
Nice. Well, we're excited to have you too and your wonderful, bright energy. I'm excited to dig in the podcast because I know that smile and that great energy didn't just get gifted to you. Where do you live now, Allie, to start off, and what do you do for work? What is your mission on this planet?
Well, I'm Australian, mate, through and through. So I live in sunny Queensland in Australia, and everything that I do is centered around self-love. So I have the global self-love movement Goddess Day, and that's my passion. That's where all of my energy goes into.
Amazing. Can you tell us a bit about the global self movement and Goddess Day and what it is?
100%. So a couple of years ago, I decided as a busy entrepreneurial woman that I didn't want to be a busy entrepreneurial woman, that I wanted to have some balance in my life. And I decided to take a Goddess Day for myself. That meant that I had a day strictly for me, a day of no business, of not being a mom, of not being a partner, not being a businesswoman, and just taking time for me, not seeing friends so much, more around how can I give back to myself. So massages, taking myself for lunch, taking myself shopping, whatever I felt like, sleeping all day if I wanted to. And that just started as something literally to give to myself. And over time with the community that I'm a part of, other women started to take Goddess Days for themselves. And it started to become a little bit of a thing. And then early this year, one of my mentors, she's a big advocate for what I'm doing. She really gave me a nudge and supported me in, gave me a platform to sell my first round of t-shirts and just get it out there. So it's been something really beautiful. It had been trying to come through for a couple of years on a bigger scale. I ignored it. And now it's like, it's got its own heartbeat.
Amazing. Amazing. Now, when you and I were talking before the beginning of the podcast, you had, we talked a little bit about your history and the things that led you here. And I always find that very interesting because what people go through often has some powerful messages in it. So you mentioned age 26 is the cracking open time. Can you tell us about that, Allie?
Yeah, my mom said to me once, my birth mom, she said, you know, women hit the age of 30, they fall apart, they go see a psychologist, and then they move on with their life. And, you know, for me, it was 26. I didn't see a psychologist. I saw a life coach. And, you know, I feel like as women, we often think we're broken. And at that point, I like to call it the cracking open time. So for me, it was 26. And I remember being on the side of the road, just sobbing uncontrollably, talking to my dad. And then I rang this woman that I know was a life coach. And I just said, I'm ready to come start seeing you. And at our first session, she said to me, what do you want? And literally all I wanted was to feel happy. That was it. That's all I remember from that first session. I said, I just want to be happy like you. And there was this deep sadness within me. And I feel like it was all the societal constructs and all the ways that I was told I should be or what I wasn't. And I came to that point where it was like the line in the sand to go, I do not want to live this way anymore. I do not want to settle for. I do not want to live with a broken heart. I do not want to live with not knowing who I am. And that really started my journey.
Amazing. And then we had spoken about 32 years old. You call that the wake-up call, and it was the undoing of everything and the beginning of who you are today. So what went on there, Allie?
Have you ever read the book or watched the movie Eat, Pray, Love?
I have, but I don't remember it. But that's with Julia Roberts, correct?
She does the movie, and then the book is just the book's my favorite. I love the book better. So I read it multiple times, and in that, Elizabeth Gilbert has a moment where she's on her bathroom floor, and it's this booming voice of God comes through to her, and everything in her life changes, and then she goes off on this 12-month adventure, and I had that at the age of 32. It was like my eat, pray, love moment, I call it, where, you know, God, universe, however you want to coin it, handed me on a silver platter. I was like, you want to know self-love? You want to learn self-love? Here you go, have this. And it was a kick up the ass. It was like, it was the hardest time in my life. And for 4 years, I felt like I needed to be institutionalized. That was the deepening of my desire to love all of who I am. And since then, it's been my mission. 26, it started. 32 was like, nah, you're not doing it enough. So here you go. Let's give you something challenging. And then from there, it's just been that constant. My intention has been to fall in love with myself a little more every single day.
I love that. And it's interesting how my ground zero or my wake up call was 38 when I went bankrupt. And it's interesting how oftentimes we have to lose ourselves to find ourselves. Now, you mentioned you felt like you needed to be institutionalized, and what I'd like to do is try and normalize mental health and normalize what people go through. What were you experiencing during that time, Allie?
Every day I would wake up and I would play out a scenario, and it was from the moment I woke up until the moment I went to bed, and it was matters of the heart. So it was around another woman and a man, and for 4 years I played out these stories and this obsession and compared myself to this other woman. And through that experience, because I was in such a state of panic every single day, I began to run on my adrenals, and I experienced adrenal fatigue. I experienced severe anxiety, and they go hand in hand. So the depletion of the iron and the B in my body created more chaos, and got to a point where, like, when I say institutionalized, I mean that with so much love. Like, I literally feel like I could have been put into a space, and I didn't know if I was sane anymore or not. Like, I was that immersed in these feelings every day that I would dread waking up. And then it'd be the same thing. I'd have the whole day of these same thoughts, and then the next day I'd wake up and I'd do it all again. It was in my dreams. It was there constantly. And I feel like, just to cycle back for a sec, my worst moment, wouldn't even say worst, my moment, one of the moments that was the most intense was I was driving in my car behind my partner and my son and his son, and I was doing 110 kilometers down the highway. That's the fastest we can do here in Australia. And I so wanted to drive off the road. I just wanted to end the chaos in the mind. I was not coping with the chatter in the mind, and I didn't know how to make it quiet. And at that point, I know if my son wasn't in the car that I would have taken myself off the road. And I feel like that was a really pivotal moment for me. I went, I got a little bit of help from a naturopath, She helped me to bring my iron and my B vitamins back into alignment so that I could clear the fog that was going on and get a little bit of sanity back. And then from there, I was able to work through what was going on for me.
Wow, powerful stuff. And I can tell you, I can relate to having those ground zero moments, but they're often the biggest gifts that create the change. Now, what else did you do to deal with your anxiety? What else have you done in the past? Can you give any, you know, we're directing this podcast towards entrepreneurs. A lot of my podcast is a lot of people that listen are entrepreneurs, and I know entrepreneurs deal with a lot of anxiety. So what tips can you give somebody that's suffering from anxiety, Ali?
Have my own beliefs around this. And I feel like everybody is going to have their own experience. And I'm with you that that was the greatest gift that could have been given to me. Those 4 years of my life have led me to where I am today. It's why I work with women from all around the world. It's why I deep dove into NLP, timeline therapy, the workings of the mind, human behavior, why Goddess Day was created. And I'm very thankful for that time in my life. With anxiety, I remember going to a market stall. I was assessing stalls for a job for a little while, and I got all the alternate stalls at this market. And I sat down with this lady who had a tarot stall, and she said to me, "Would you like me to read your cards?" I was like, "Sure, let's play." And as I sat down, never met her before, she said to me, "Wow, you experienced some intense anxiety." I was like, "Yeah, I do." And as we got speaking about it, and she asked me some questions, she said something that forever changed my viewpoints around anxiety. And she said, "You know that you can use that as an alert system, right?" It's like, wow. And so what I learned was that the reason that I initially had anxiety through the time and the chaos in the mind was because I put myself through so much stress, because I didn't know how to get out of the chatter of the mind. And I was totally out of alignment with my truth, and I wasn't speaking my truth. And so I began to use anxiety as a tool for every time that I didn't speak my truth. You know, I would feel it in my body, and then that would be the sign and the symptom. So I believe that anxiety comes about when we're not in integrity with ourselves, when we're not speaking our truths, when we put others' needs before our own, when we settle for, and when we're not doing what we can to navigate through those things if we continue tolerating them. So for me, I've just continued since then to use it as the tool for when I'm not in integrity or alignment with myself. And it's been wonderful. Amazing.
Love that. And it's a super powerful conversation that you brought up, in the sense that I believe a lot of people are struggling these days because they're not being their authentic selves. They've put the real selves in the closet and shut the door. And we can't expect to be happy and peaceful and loving on this planet when we're not being ourselves. And anxiety, like you said, oftentimes is like the red light on the dashboard, is the way I describe it, alerting people to the fact that something's off and something's out of balance. Now, what else, when you were at that rock bottom, were you dealing with any depression or anything like that? Did you have to do anything to get yourself to is there any advice you could give anybody on shifting their mood?
I don't think there's a blanket anything for anybody to, like, I don't believe I can say do this and this will happen for you. I believe that we get to make a choice that we no longer want to feel this way. And then every single day we get to make a new choice. And over time we will find that there is a tipping point. And so if, I guess from an advice perspective, if there are things within your life and you're listening to this and there are things within your life that do not make you happy, then have a look at those things. If there are relationships that do not make you happy, there may be conversations that need to be had. There may be the letting go of friendships or partnerships. Anything that doesn't feel good to you can cause anxiety, depression, other things, burnout, fatigue, all of that. So I guess the advice piece would be to really have a look at the areas of your life. Maybe you like to write down the different areas: relationship, business, money, health, whatever it is, all the aspects of your life, and have a look and see, well, what are my fulfillment levels here? What's not working for me? What am I tolerating? And then I guess here's where the big piece is. It's actually taking action to shift the things in our lives, which while we're in it can sometimes be really hard. One thing I've learned is that self-responsibility is key, and it's not often easy when we're in spaces to be self-responsible. And I believe it's the self-responsibility that is going to shift us through that.
Can you expand on what you define self-responsibility as?
Mm-hmm. Not being a victim to our circumstances. I do not believe that we are anxiety or depression. I believe we experience that. And so I feel like there's a lot of people that, and with utmost respect, probably do not know they're doing it, use anxiety, depression, burnout, fatigue as an excuse for why they're not doing other things in their lives. I've been there. I've experienced anxiety, depression, all of those things I've just mentioned. And I feel like often they can be excuses as to why we're not being a better mother or father, maybe excuses as to why we're not doing things within business, excuses as to why we're tolerating a relationship that's not serving us. And to me, the self-responsibility piece is not blaming anxiety or depression or whatever else it is, and not blaming other things external to us, and actually taking the self-responsibility to make the choices and the changes in our lives to be of service to us and not live in a victim state. I've been in victim state many times in my life, sometimes still catch myself in a victim state. Not a fun place to stay though.
Well, that's an interesting conversation in itself, is that what's your message to people that are looking to feel good all the time, every day, every moment? What's your thoughts on that?
That is BS. I can only speak from the feminine perspective. So to our men, this will also be something that would be great. Is a great thing for you to listen to, I feel. Us women, we experience four seasons in 1 month. We experience summer, autumn, winter, and spring. The full moon and the new moon affect us. Our cycles as women affect us. And so it is in us to ebb and flow. It is in us to experience anger, sadness, joy, all of that. One day we're one way, the next day we're another way. And if we look at the cycles of nature, she's the same. You know, there's storms, there's rain, there's wind, there's ocean, there's forest, there's all sorts. And I believe, you know, we're a reflection of Mother Nature. And in knowing that, there are going to be days where we experience sadness. There are going to be days where we experience anger. And the more we suppress those feelings, the more they cause problems within the body. So I'm a big believer in, if you're angry, go express that. Not at somebody, like this is the self-responsibility part as well, not to go and use it as an excuse to just blow a fuse at somebody. It's like, hold your power in your anger. Anger is a really beautiful emotion when you're not, when it's empowered. Like we can have anger where we're angry at others and being abusive, or we can have anger where it's like, no, here I am, hear me roar. It's like, this is my truth, and standing in that unwaveringly. We can have sadness, you know, and it's beautiful to cry. And for our men as well, like, yeah, there's so much suppression that goes on. And I feel like the more we suppress the emotions, the less we're experiencing the truth of who we are. And then there's more chaos that's happening on the inside. So what was the initial question there?
No, I think you answered it perfectly, buddy. I think that was awesome.
And it just made
me want to cry. No, I'm kidding. But what I mean is it made me realize that a lot of times when we're experiencing something, well, I was mentioning to you before the beginning of the call that I was in a bit of a weird space today and had ups and downs. And what you alerted me to is the fact that sometimes you just need to go let that out. And that it's a natural part of our process. And I think that's why I wanted to discuss it with you, because I think a lot of people, when I deal with people that are depressed, the number one thing we have to address right away is them feeling bad about themselves because they're the only ones that are depressed, looking at everybody else doing so well. And we can't live our lives expecting that out of our life, because like you said, we can't know happiness unless you know the sadness. So I really like your take on that. Now I'm interested, can you tell us about NLP to start off with? What were you attracted to about that, and how does it work?
I did a session with a friend of mine who had been studying NLP, and it's called the five main emotions. And with that, we work with five main emotions: anger, sadness, fear, hurt, and guilt. And after that session, I was just on top of the world. It cleared so much within me, so many beliefs, patterns, programs, and I just felt great. And after that, I was like, I want more of this. Like, I want to clear these things that are in my way. And it was the fastest modality I'd ever worked with without bypassing. And it got me curious on, like, if I could have a session where it changed my thought processes. If I could rewire my neural pathways and change the way that I think, which changes the way that I show up in the world, changes how I feel about myself, changes my experiences, then I wanted more of that. And so I decided to go and study NLP for myself, not to coach, not to do anything with it, just to tidy myself up, really, to work on the inner side of things and the clearing up, get out of the chatter. You know, I said I was stuck in the chatter for 4 years, and it really got me curious on how to get out of the chatter. And for me, NLP is a tool that can do that. So I did my practitioner, and then within 9 months, I started to coach women. I created a 4-week program, really deep immersive program to shift limiting beliefs, patterns, programs, and using NLP and timeline therapy as the catalyst for that. Timeline therapy is actually the piece that that's the five main emotions piece. So there's timeline in NLP and then there's timeline therapy. They're two separate things. And we work with the unconscious mind and go to a lot of depths with timeline therapy. So I did my practitioner of both. And then I went and did my master practitioner as well. And what I love with that is that, you know, I'm so interested in human behavior. And I see men and women as adults walking around as these kings and queens. They're wanting to be these kings and queens. And they're living out these little princesses and these little princes from the 0 to 7 year imprint stage. And so we're trying to be these adults and live these adult lives. We're playing out these beliefs and patterns and programs from that 0 to 7 or past life or past down. And what I love about timeline therapy is that it enables us to stop living as our child selves. It allows us to step into the truth of who we are. And when we can unhook those beliefs, those patterns, those programs that are stopping the magic in our lives as we are today, there's something really powerful in that. And I've never found another tool, and I've done so many things in my life, never found another tool that I've resonated with enough like timeline therapy. It blows my mind every time I work with somebody doing timeline therapy. And then NLP for me is more language. Because, you know, what we speak is our reality. That to me was, you know, the biggest thing I took from the teachings in NLP.
Amazing. Super exciting to hear about this. And I'm excited that everybody listening gets to hear about it. Let's shift the conversation to entrepreneurship. We're both entrepreneurs. We both know it's not easy. There's a very small percentage of people on this planet that can make money as an entrepreneur for a reason. A lot of it's the mindset. A huge portion of it is what's going on with your relationship with yourself. What advice can you give to a new entrepreneur? What would you say were the main things that you need to work on and sort out if you want to be successful as an entrepreneur?
First and foremost, stay in your own lane. Second, you do not need to go and do every single course on every single thing. You do not need to take the advice of every other person. You will always know what is right for you above and beyond what anybody else will tell you. And when you can tap into what it is that brings you joy, that thing that's sitting there in the background that keeps screaming at you or just gently talking to you and saying, hey, I'm ready to be birthed into the world. That thing that lights you up the most, trust that. It's there for a reason. That thing is coming into your life for a purpose. And when you can surrender to that, when you can co-create with that thing that's trying to come through and not focus on what everybody else is telling you you should do, then I feel like you will actually create your own magic.
Love that. Love that. Now, when you became an entrepreneur, what were some of the main hurdles that you came across?
Yeah. One of the biggest ones for me was after I made my first 6 figures, and that's super fast. Unusually fast for the way that I did that. I got to this point where I was just thrust into leadership. So I'd always been somebody that was the support person to everybody else. And here I am, I come into this business model and I'm like, boom, 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 here we go. First 6 figures, 3 months of business. It's like, what? I'd never had that much money in one go. I'd never been out in front, never been somebody that people had looked at to go, wow, you know? And I looked at my mentors who were 7-figure income earners, and I freaked out. I was like, I had this thought in my head and didn't realize it until I started to have a look at it, that if I wanted to be a 7-figure income earner, I had to do business the way that they did business. And at the time, they were doing business from sunup till midnight, and they were on all the time. Now, my belief system is that I can be a 7-figure income earner working 10 hours a week. At the time, though, the unconscious belief was that I had to do what they're doing to create that. So that was my biggest, that was my first biggest hurdle, was like, whoa. And then it was giving a new meaning and definition to what leadership was. And that's how, that's actually how Goddess They Got created, is to go, no, I'm choosing that I get to work 4 days a week. I get to work from 9 a.m. till 2 p.m., 4 days, take a Goddess Day for myself and take weekends off. And I can still be, you know, a multi seven figure income earner if I desired. So that was the main thing at the start. And then really being true to me. And, you know, in having an online brand, we're taught so many different things and told we should be doing things a certain way. And it's like, well, what feels good to you? Because I know what feels good to me is very different to what we're told we should be doing as entrepreneurs online. And it's worked for me the way that I do it. So I feel like if we're true to what feels good for us, then we can have whatever success we desire.
Yeah, I love that, because especially in the industry that we're in and exposed to, is there's lots of formulas on how people create success. And, you know, for example, we're told to create this many posts and this many go lives. And I don't resonate with a lot of that, and I haven't. And I've been doing my own thing, and it keeps working. So I think that's a super powerful message. But with a caveat is that you have to do something. And you have to show up, but you need to show up in your own way. And another point that I find interesting that I want to touch on to anybody listening is, I know a lot of online entrepreneurs that promote the freedom lifestyle and left their jobs and employment situations to create freedom and have put themselves in more of a prison than they were before because they're connected to their phone 7 days a week without boundaries. So I love that you touched on that. Now, anything, did you ever experience any sort of, when you were being who you truly were, any sort of off feelings about what, did it ever feel uncomfortable for a while when you started getting what you wanted? Did you have some kickback?
I'm not sure I fully understand the question. Can you ask me it again?
Of course. Yeah. So when you started to give yourself permission to be who you truly are and you started to have success and things started going really well, did you ever have any kickback internally from, because how do I explain it? Well, the best way to explain it is that all my life I blocked myself from doing the things that I wanted to do because I had faulty beliefs about myself. And whenever I started to give myself another thing that I wanted to do, I sometimes had some kickback and had to go readdress those faulty beliefs. So have you experienced any of that as you've created success?
Yeah, I call it the glass ceiling. Thanks for giving me another way to
hear that. Yeah.
So for me, I believe that on the entrepreneurial journey, we will continuously hit glass ceilings. And what I mean by that is, when I first started in my business now, I was at a glass ceiling moment. I didn't know how to go beyond where I was at. I was looking for somebody to show me how to go beyond 10-figure months. I could do it, but I couldn't do it consistently either. I didn't have a formula, or I didn't know how to go beyond the mindset. I didn't like to go to the next step. I just didn't know how to do that. So I call that the glass ceiling. And then as I've gone along on my journey, after that first 3 months, creating that first six figures, boom, glass ceiling. Okay, hang on, what's leadership? And then, you know, as I've gone on, there's been multiple glass ceilings that I've hit, and it's given me the opportunity to expand each and every single time. So there's nothing coming to the forefront. Oh, actually, yeah. Another thing that happened was I was doing amazing in business. People would look on the outside and see, wow, she's successful, like super successful, and at such a fast pace. And within 12 months, I was like, now what? Great. So multi six figures. Now what? And there was just this point where I was like, I don't want to do business like this anymore. And so my mind's going, you don't what? You've got a successful business. You're making money. You're a leader. You know, you've got the online stuff going on. This is what you've wanted. And now you don't want this. It was like, there was this point where I hit this moment of, I'm not fulfilled by this. I'm happy to make great money. And I'm happy to be a leader and support other people, or perceived leader. And I'm happy to do business the way that I'm doing it. However, there was something within me that was not fulfilled. And it took me, I stepped away from the online space. This was all of last year, for a year. And I was in the internal space. I was looking at what I was doing. I was I chose to, if, how I articulate this, it didn't matter to me if everything changed in my life and I was no longer doing what I was doing, because there was a missing happiness piece. And so I gave myself the year. I was fortunate enough to have built my business to a level where I could step back, where I could really nurture myself, where I could really get clear on my own boundaries, what I wanted, who I was. So that was like a massive glass ceiling that lasted a year. And I think there's this misconception that, you know, you hear it all the time, money doesn't make you happy. Now, I think money does make us very happy with what we can do with money. And I think if we, you know, do amazing things and we're beautiful people, then we can do extraordinary things with money. And, you know, I love the finer things in life. So that's important. However, I feel like people chase that. We live in this society where it's like, you've got to make money. Like I listened to my 18-year-old, my son's about to turn 18. I listened to him talking and everything's revolved around money. And I just keep thinking, it's not the thing that's going to make you happy. You need to be happy with yourself first, because no amount of money will make you happy if you do not have a great relationship, if you do not have a great relationship with yourself, if you have something that feels empty within you. It just won't. And so that was huge. That was something as an entrepreneur for me that was like, whoa, okay. And I fought it because I was like, you're crazy. Like, why would you give up what you've created? It's come with ease and flow. You've put your whole life into creating something that now comes with ease and flow, and you don't want to do it. But it was a soul nudge. That was a soul calling. That was not a logical decision. That was something that I knew. The more I resisted that, the more it was there. And so it was like, I surrender. And now through that piece, it's given me more clarity on who I am. I have stronger boundaries. I have more self-love, more self-worth, and my business is thriving in a whole other way.
It's amazing. And it's interesting because I was, my whole life had lived in scarcity and finally created success as a clinical hypnotherapist, making 15 to 20 grand a month. And then I had a calling that I was supposed to do the Power On Audio Club and speak to people daily. So I walked away from it and put it on hold. And everybody's like, what the fuck are you doing? But sometimes you just know. Something else that was interesting that's happened for me, Ali, is that all my life I wanted to have money saved. I wanted to do what I love. I wanted a great partner. I wanted to live on the beach. And now I have all of that. And now it's, okay, where else is some of this going on inside of you? Is it missing from? So the reason I wanted to share that, I didn't articulate that very well, but I'm going through some internal things myself right now because I've created everything I've ever wanted to create. And now it's here. And now I'm trying to figure out what the fuck to do with that because I've never had that before. But the real message I wanted to share to anybody listening is that it's a journey and it's never going to stop. And the glass ceilings are going to continue to come and the ups and downs. And if you are truly growing, it doesn't mean you're going to do the same fucking thing over and over every day for the rest of your life, because that's not truly growing. And I think that's a powerful message that you've shared. Now, Ali, any specific advice that you want to give to somebody that's listening to this right now that is considering becoming an entrepreneur? Anything that you want to tell them to finish off, and then we'll get into where people can find you.
Amazing. Yeah. I feel like entrepreneurs, we have a tendency. I want to say I do not have this tendency now. I had it for a very long time. Entrepreneurs tend to have this tendency of putting their fingers in many different pies. And it's like, oh, shiny object. Oh, I'll try this. I'll try that. And I used to be that person. What I've come to realize is that I feel like an entrepreneur gets to be redefined as someone who has staying power with what they're doing. And it doesn't mean that you have to be locked into something. It's just, well, rather than spreading ourselves out into 600 different things, like what's the thing? Or what's the two things? And then spending time on those things and having them getting up and running and then being open to the next possibility. I feel like if we have our being in too many different things, then we're not as present as we can be. And we're not giving as much to what's trying to birth through us. How can we give? Yeah, if we're doing 600 different things, how can we give to each of those things? So I guess for me, the biggest thing would be find a couple of things that light you up and work with them. And then if they don't feel good, then move to the next thing. Pour your heart and soul into what it is that you're doing. and then grow and grow and learn what you need to learn. I see too many people just out there trying to make the money and not really focusing in on what's in their heart space. And I feel like that's really important as an entrepreneur. It's the thing I was talking about before. I believe we all have something that's tapping us in the background that's trying to be birthed through us. And until we listen, we will continue to do the typical entrepreneurial thing of, oh, here, there, and everywhere. Whereas if we just take that time to really connect in with what's trying to come through, that might be sitting in silence, that might be asking, it might be whatever it is that you need to do to tap into that. That will be where you thrive with that thing that's trying to come through you.
I love that. And to add to that too, to anybody listening, I believe that if you just become an entrepreneur and don't address that true calling, you'll end up in the same spot you did, making money for somebody else. You're still making money for yourself, but not truly for yourself because you're not being your true self. The other advice I'd give someone listening is that when you become an entrepreneur, Ali's mentioned this happened to her, this happened to me, it happens to many entrepreneurs. I believe you come up with an idea, you love it, but you don't have the self-esteem and the belief in yourself. So you create another fucking shiny object and another shiny object. And I kept doing that, just moving from one shiny object to another until I realized, okay, I'm going to go be me and do what my heart calls and not think about making money and building a million-dollar business, but helping people and being myself. Now, where can people find you, Ali? I've really enjoyed talking to you and I want people to be able to find you and get your help.
Thank you. So my website, alimayglobal.com. You can jump on there, have a look at what I do, check out the Goddess Day movement. You can go to my personal Facebook page. It's a really great place to connect with me. That's Ali May. And then my Instagram is either AliMay_kisskiss or GoddessDay_kisskiss.
Awesome. Awesome. What to finish off, Ali, a lot of people are going through a tough time right now. Can you finish off with a message to anybody that's struggling right now?
Struggling with what's going on with the planet?
Just struggling. Yeah, just struggling. Just having a tough time right now. A lot of people, I don't think they even know what it's to do with, but I think a lot of people are in depression and just having a tough time with the whole COVID economy, not knowing what's coming, all of that stuff.
I personally haven't been affected by what's going on. And I know there are a lot of people that have. I don't want to be like, oh, you know, just get over it. So I'm trying to think of, just give me a sec to sit with this because there's a lot wanting to come through and I really want to be respectful of the people that are going through what they're going through. I feel like when with this event that's happened is that it's a real great opportunity for people to see the way that they've chosen to live their lives. What I mean by that is that I haven't been affected by what's going on because I've chosen inner freedom above anything else. And so the whole world could be on fire and I know I'd be okay because I've got me and my inner freedom is so big. So I feel like if you're listening and you're going through a tough time at the moment, what's something that you can do for you just each and every single day to tap into your inner freedom? Because the outer freedom is one thing. But what happens if you lose it all? And what happens if the world closes down? What have you got then? And what happens if money decides to disappear off the face of the planet and we have a different currency? Then who are you? Who are you and what makes you happy? So if you haven't yet found that, it's there. You don't have to go seeking. It's just there. It's getting quiet and really tapping into who are you? What lights you up? What makes you smile? What doesn't make you smile? What's the thing that brings you the most joy? And go and do that.
I love that answer. I love that answer. It's a great answer. And I think that's one of the greatest gifts that can come out of this whole situation this year is recognizing that the freedom is within. And that's part of the reason why a lot of people say, how do you have the energy that you have and how do you feel so good and come across so powerful? And it's because I just gave up my connection to needing the external world to make me happy and made peace with myself. So it's super, super exciting to have you on the show, Ali, and we'll hopefully have you back. And I wish you all the best and success. And it's just been great to talk with you. And anybody listening, never, ever give up. You're super powerful. Ali's an example of you can get back up and create who you truly are. Check her workout. Love you guys lots. Thanks for tuning in to another amazing episode of the Power On Boost.
You just finished another episode of the Power On Boost podcast with your host, Adrian Wesley. Make sure to hit that subscribe button and tune in next time. Power On!